Nature Forward and themed Reclamation and Resilience, with both online and in-person participation for connection, knowledge, inspiration, and more. Details about Taking Nature Black Conference at natureforward.org/takingnatureblack. All one word, Taking Nature Black. That's Taking Nature Black, Reclamation and Resilience, March 5th through the 8th. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. From the county, some another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know.
Give me a hand.
What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every week at this same Tuesday, same time on Tuesdays. Thank you for tuning in. Crossroads have been on air for 17 years and we've been going strong for 17 years. I think we missed three shows in 17 years, Martine and I. This tells you how we feel about this show and what it means to us, because we've been putting in a lot of time to bring you information that you can use. This is our quarterly fundraiser for WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. We've been on the air for 47 years. Education for Liberation. Crossroads needs to raise a set amount of money this hour. So, folks, if you're listening, this is our quarterly fund drive. We need your help to stay on the air, to keep bringing you topics that we think that you need to hear and can learn from. The phone number to call if you want to make a donation is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or 1-800-222-9739. Pick up the phone and make a donation. Folks, we can't stay on the air if we don't hear from you. You hear from us every week. Now we need to hear from you once every quarter. Please make a donation, and we'll get back to this later in the show. We always open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey, this is Black History Month, and we decided to do something a little different from Black History. There's a couple ladies we wanted to talk about. Billie Holiday was a well-known jazz singer and sung the blues, and she was arrested and hound and dog by the Federal Bureau of Narcotics and Mr. Henry Anslinger, who has been described as an extreme racist. She was prevented from singing a song, Strange Fruit. And as a result of that, she refused to follow and singer's denial for her to sing this song. So she went in and sung it. And for the next several years, she was incarcerated several times at Lexington's drug recovery treatment in Kentucky. Excuse me. She's been arrested in prison because she refused not to sing the song, Strange Fruit. Strange Fruit is a fruit about lynching. And for umpteen years, they harassed and threatened, arrested Billie Holiday. In fact, she died in a hospital, handcuffed and shackled to the bed. And when she was refused medication ordered supposedly by Mr. Henry Anslinger, the director of the Bureau of Narcotics, which is now DEA. Secondly, we want to talk about, I was in Lord Reformatory and we had jazz singers come every year. We had a Catholic priest named Father Brightfellow, and he would go in Washington, D.C. and contact all of the singers, entertainers, and see if they would come to the Lorton Reformatory and perform. Frank Sinatra flew down one year with his helicopter, and he brought Ella Fitzgerald, Count Basie, And Frank got off his helicopter and walked into the stands amongst all the inmates. And the guards were saying, hey, stop, man. You don't do that. That's dangerous. Frank just shoved the guard's hand off his shoulder and walked through the crowd, greeting brothers, shaking hands, rubbing their head. And he was just like old home week. And he brought Ella Fitzgerald down. And Ella came every year for several years. And I often wondered, why would this well-known entertainer come down to the prison to perform free? But when I researched her story, she was arrested and did 18 months in a juvenile facility for being a wayward youth. And they kept Ella locked up. And when she came out, she went to sing at a club and they would not let her go through the front lobby. She could not interact with the guests. As a result, she was blackballed, and Marilyn Monroe, a white lady, a star, a celebrity, heard about them denying Ella the right to sing in this club, and she had to go through the kitchen and go up the back stairs and go out the building and sit outside in the car and cut the heat on to stay warm because they would not let her stay inside of the hotel or in the lounge. So as a result of this, Marilyn Monroe called the Macombo Club and told her, let this lady sing. She is my friend and I respect her. And it's because of Marilyn Monroe's interceding on her behalf, Ella was able to perform and stay in the hotel. They needed the dining room table. And she played Marilyn played a key role in fighting discrimination. And lastly but not least is my man, Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, this is Black History Month. Frank single-handedly desegregated Las Vegas when they refused to let Frank Sinatra sing and perform. He performed, but he couldn't live, drink, or... Sammy Davis was not allowed to eat, sit at the table. He could perform. So Frank Sinatra called and said, y'all, cut this jiggy boogie out. And as a result of him, he helped desegregate Las Vegas for Black entertainers. So Marilyn Monroe, Frank Sinatra, and Billie Holiday, these are three of our idols and stars. And white folk played a key part in making sure that they get equal treatment. So Frank Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe, I want to thank you both for what you did to help desegregate the entertainment industry for our Black entertainers. And also, all of them were arrested, been in prison. And for to have Billie Holiday die in bed with handcuffs and shackles for singing a song, Strange Fruit. This is the first time a director of a government agency ban a song called Strange Fruit. Check it out. You'll understand why and what it means to us. And that's been our Black history piece. Trump says he's exploring options to send jail U.S. criminals to other countries. President Donald Trump said Tuesday that he was exploring whether he can move forward with El Salvador's offer to accept and jail violent American criminals in the most severe cases. Even as he and Secretary of State Marco Rubio both said, it raises clear legal issues. Rubio reached an unusual agreement with Salvadorian president a day earlier in the Central American country would accept U.S. deportees of any nationalities, including American citizens and legal residents who are imprisoned for violent crime. That has to be illegal to send our prisoners out of the states to another country. How do you get visas? How do you get your mail? How do you enforce your constitutional rights in the foreign country while you're incarcerated? This is jiggy boogie at its finest. Folks, that's what it is. Also, we've received a flyer that February 28th is Economic Blackout Day. Take part and share the news. If you haven't heard, there will be an economic blackout Friday, February 28th, nationwide. This means don't buy anything unless it's from a small business. No gas, no fast food, and definitely nothing from places like the big box retailers, Target, Walmart, or Amazon. Get the word out. We want them to see that we have the power. We will start with one day, then three, then Pacific companies until our message is heard. You can go to our website. There are several national gatherings, marches, demonstrations across the country to protest some of the executive orders and policies that have come out of the White House. So, folks, go to our website, Your New Beginnings,
DC.org.
Yournewbeginningsdc.org. Yournewbeginningsdc.org for listening of those other activities that's happening all around the country in protest of some of these extreme policies and executive orders that's been issued by the current president. And that's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's been grapevine. Now we get to our topic. Last night, we had the opportunity to attend a forum in PG County. And let me tell you, it was over 500 people there. We had to park almost two, three blocks away to get to the facility. I've never seen so many community members show up in mass for a candidate's forum for the county executive position, which has been vacated by now Senator Angela Alsobrooks. And my wife and I were there, and all of the candidates who are vying for the position of county executive in PG County, oh, by the way, which has been called Ward 9, because a lot of D.C. residents are leaving D.C., have left, and live in PG County. So to see 500-plus show out, man, these folks on that job. And I worked on Marion Barrett's three campaigns. I've never seen a crowd that large, that big, and they had a alternate room on the side where people were looking at the program via camera, via Zoom or whatever, Facebook, FaceTime. It was quite an evening. I was impressed with the candidates. And this morning we have one of the top two leading candidates for PG County County Exec, who's also alumni of mine from UDC, the University of the Department of Corrections. And I want to thank our good honorable council member. What's that Turkish name?
Calvin.
Calvin Hawkins. He's a good friend. We go back 45 years. Good morning, Calvin. How you doing? Hey, we was waiting on him. We're having a little difficulty from plugging in, so I just keep on talking until Calvin comes on. We just spoke to him a few minutes ago. And last night, that program over at PG County, the Candidates Forum, folks, I've never, ever seen something like it. The biggest crowd I've seen like that was when Marion Barrett got released from prison and came back. And there was about a thousand or a few thousand people there to greet and then welcome him back home. But the program last night over in PG County for the Candidates Forum is eight candidates running for county exec in PG County. Angela Owen, also Brooks, won the seat for U.S. Senate for PG County, and she vacated that seat. So now it's up for election. The election is March 5th in PG County. So if you are a resident of PG County, you can vote, you can participate, and you can let your wishes be known. Calvin Hawkins and I go back over 45 years. We're going to have next week Aisha Braeborn. We're dealing with the first two candidates, the leading candidates for this position. So we got him right now. Hey, Calvin, are you there?
I see a picture
on the screen. Are you there? There you go. Good morning, Calvin Hawkins.
Good morning. Good morning to you and your lovely host.
Man, I just saw you last night, and look at you. You were all bright and gleamy-eyed early this morning. Your hair all shine. Your hair balling in mine, man. We got the same barber. I've been fighting the cold. I've been sick all week.
Well, I hope you get better.
Well, I'm getting better, man. Last night made me feel better. When I heard you and other folks on that man, it was very impressive. Calvin, to see that many homeowners, because when I looked up, I walked through the crowd, I checked out the people, I tried to see I looked at the cars in the parking lot. These folk had a vested interest in who's going to be their next representative in the city council. Yeah. And to see over 500 plus show up, man, this campaign is hot, is heavy, and you are in the fight for your life, but I know you're going to be all right, man.
Yes, we are doing what we need to do, Roach, as you well know. It's a competitive race. You got some good candidates involved sharing their vision for a better Prince George's County. So I'm excited about the opportunity.
You know, at the beginning of the show, never heard as I told everybody that you and I are alumni from UDC.
That's right.
The University Department of Corrections. And this is historic for you, man. I mean, you're making history all over the country to have one of us to be on the council. You've been there for 6 years plus, and now you're running for the county executive, which is the equivalent of the mayor of PG County.
Yes.
Man, to come from where you came from and to get to where you are now is a testament, man, to your compassion, your dedication, and your commitment, man. I want to thank you for that.
And thank you.
And not only that, you've even went so far as to hire other alumni on your staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we talked a few weeks ago about the brother in Richmond, who's the Speaker of the House. And he's an alumni. He's a returning citizen.
Yes.
Returning citizens are running for election. They win in seats all over the country. How did you get involved with this, Calvin?
For me, Roach, it was an opportunity to really move from the background, you know, having a father that chauffeured Marion Barry, a mother that worked in the D.C. government in the office of the mayor, and just being around the kind of leadership Mayor Barry gave to not just Washington, D.C. and the country, but the world. Because as you know, for us, growing up in this area, we were just accepting. When Marion Barry came into office in 1978, we saw someone that hired more women, particularly Black women, gave more Black businesses opportunities. And when you look at a place like Woodmore in Prince George's County and so many other areas, you know, that's why they really call us affectionately Ward 9, because of all the millionaires and all the successful businesses and government workers that were able to move to a place like Prince George's County and houses with yards and, you know, just enjoy the suburban side of life. And having watched him and the unapologetic approach he had to public service and the unapologetic, uncompromising integrity he displayed as a public servant really played a significant role in my life. And then having an opportunity to come and work with the first African-American county executive in Wayne Carey. I used to travel with Wayne Carey, and I didn't know a lot, Roach, as a former incarcerant. But Wayne Carey, as profoundly impactful as he was, not just on Prince George's County, the region and the state, but the country, he took a young man like me under his wings and mentored me about the importance of the business side of public service and the social side of public service. So I got involved as a result of being behind the scene. I always wanted to be the king maker, not the king, but and six years ago, the opportunity became apparent that I need to get involved and not just stay behind the scenes, but pursue public service through an elected position. And as you know, Roach, I ran for at large in Prince George's County. It was the first time we had 9 single member council members. And then it was the first time they expanded it to 2 additional council members at large. And as a result, Roach, I ran, but I want your listening audience to know, I ran not on any, because out here in Prince George's County, you get on political tickets. The state senators select you and you get on their ticket, and the likelihood is you will win because you're on their political tickets. From the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, and the 47th legislative district, we have 8 of them. If the majority of those 8 senators say, hey, you're with us, back then it was president of the Senate who represented the 27th legislative district, Mike Miller really gave the nod of who got to serve when and where and how. Wayne Carey ran against him in 1994 and beat the political machine in Prince George's County. So I was Wayne Carey remix. Some would say Wayne Carey 2.2, but I was the remix. I ran without the support of the political machine. And Roach, I even ran, I was very upfront, I was very clear. Hey, after my 30 years of service in Prince George's County, I want you all to know, I'm not only running to serve you, I'm running as someone who had spent 5 years and 9 months of his life inside a prison for felony armed robberies. And I put my past out front. That was a person at the age of 19 and 20 versus a person who is now 58. So I say that to you. I ran on my public service record, but I didn't hide from my past as a former member of the University of the Department of Corrections. And it resonated. It was so many residents throughout Prince George's County that shared their story as a result of me sharing my story of their own trials and tribulations, whether it was a loved one, whether it was them individually, but they understood that I was like James Baldwin's Sonny Blues. I was just trying to tell those Roach who have been where we have and who are going through their own changes and challenges that you can do what Calvin Hawkins is doing. So that's how I got involved and that's how I ended up running.
You know, you got a lot of folks listening to this show, Cal. And man, it ain't what you've done, it's what you've become. Mm-hmm. You are inspiration and a motivation to so many others, man, knowing that it ain't what you've done, it's what you've become. We've all done and did things that we wish we hadn't have done, mm-hmm. but that ain't the issue. Before you answer this question, let's go to Mayuki Williams. We got a pitch partner, Calvin, and we got to get some money. Okay. Come on, Mayuki.
Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to hear this wonderful, as you say, inspirational conversation about the human condition and what people can do to transport and transcend their beginnings and change their lives and take ownership of it. Thank you so much, Councilman, and thank you for your inspiration. If you appreciate WPFW, if you value these airways, please, you know what to do. You're the smartest audience in the world, and you know how this works. Thank you already to Anonymous from Germantown, Maryland, who got us started with a web pledge. Thank you so much for your generous support. Thank you to Anonymous, who says, thank you for the black seeds. And that's from Washington, D.C. So people already love the station. They're supporting it. You can do the same by calling 202-588-9739 or going to 1-800-222-9739. Or perhaps you're listening on the web. You go to wpfwfm.org and go to donate now. We also have, if you use Cash App with your phone, just text $ in Cash App WPFWFM, or you can text WPFWFM to 801-801, and you can get a you can make a donation. Crossroads is a one-of-a-kind program dedicated to the voices of experiences of returning citizens, those reentering society after incarceration. Again, such an inspirational story, person, human being in front of us this moment, someone who reentered and really did something or is doing something positive and powerful with his life. You know, Crossroads is not just talk. It's about a platform for real change, advocacy, and empowerment. It is hosted by Roach Brown, who is a powerful storyteller, activist, actor, comedian, and voice for criminal justice.
You get all that from my
who lived experience that brings authenticity and credibility to the conversation. So again, this is a unique, powerful, wonderful program. If you appreciate the value of it, if it inspires you just a little, do call 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, or text $WPFWFM to Cash App, or you can text WPFWFM to 801-801. We still need about $400 to go in order to stay on goal. So please call and support Roach Brown Martine and also Councilman Calvin Hawkins.
Thank you. That's pretty good, man. I'm going to hire you. I liked it when you said that.
Thank you. I need the job.
Hey, Calvin, last night, one of the questions was that PG came with the crime rate in PG County. Because you are a returning citizen, and I know you had a lot of pushback, but you overcame that. And just by you being here, or we being here this morning, shows, man, that it ain't over because it's over. You can make whatever happen, happen. What do you see? What would you bring to the office of county exec as the new county exec? And how would you fight the crime problem in PG County? Or is there a crime problem in PG County?
There's a perception that there's a crime problem in Prince George's County. As you know, our crime stats are down, but people still don't feel safe. Yeah. I personally, Roach, will continue to work with the public safety leadership using technology and innovative ways of approaching how we do community policing and policing, period. But I also will add an additional component that I believe we're missing. We need more programmatic initiatives that go directly into the community. I believe our community centers, our schools, our publics, our libraries, all those are components that we are not really using to the benefit of decreasing crime. And not only that, when it comes to crime in Prince George's County, we got to look. I'm going to be very tough on the issue on crime, but I'm more concerned about the root causes. We have money, we have the funding, but if we talk about a tree looks beautiful or is a terrible plant, we don't look at the plant, the end result of the plant. We got to go to the roots. And I think that's, as a returning citizen, as an ex-offender, as someone who's been in one of those dismal crypts, I understand it's those social factors that we have to deal with to get to the root cause of it. Yeah, we can lock someone up for creating a criminal act, but we got to go deeper than that and deal with the root causes. And I believe we're well on our way, and I can't take credit for it, but I can take and say that I was part of the collaboration when our former county executive, now our United States Senator Angela Alsobrooks, Brooks, realized that 70% of the people we locked up every day or arrest every day, I should say, is either under the influence of alcohol or some psychotropic drug. That tells us they don't need to be in a jail cell in Upper Marlboro. We established, we took 20-something million dollars from our police department for them to build a training facility and put it and collaborated with one of our healthcare facilities, Luminous Hospital, Doctors Hospital, and set up a mental health unit where these individuals, instead of going into a cell, they go get the mental health they need to deal with their alcoholism, deal with their drug dependency, to see if we can work with them over time to get them back on the straight and narrow, opposed to putting, ending them, allowing them to end up in one of our prison systems throughout the state. And lastly, on that point, Rose, we even started dealing with the trauma that individuals are going through that creates the desire or the inclination to participate in criminal activity. I will be a county executive that deals with the root cause of those issues while dealing with the criminal himself or herself. But I believe too many places in our country are dealing with just locking people up, opposed to saying, hey, we're going to be courageous enough, strategic enough to deal with the root causes, let our social workers, our psychologists, and these folks really get engaged and follow their reports and follow their recommendations on how we address what's going on. And especially in some of our underserved communities where crime is high, we can't keep just locking people up and say, hey, we locked them up. We got to go in those communities and say why that single parent who can't be home with their kids who are out there doing things, or that guy that doesn't feel any hope, but that adult male who only feels he got to hustle and go throw bricks and stay involved in the streets. We got to reach that. And we have too much in America, and even here in Prince George's County, we have too much information and too much knowledge that will, that's the foundation for doing it a little different. I regret that our Senate, our county exec is no longer with her, but I'm very happy that she's gone from serving Prince George's County to now on the national, international stage as one of our 100 senators. But someone has to fill the gap. Yes. And continue to build on the direction she was going with dealing with the root causes of crime. And what I say this, and I don't want to stay on Angela Alsobrooks, but I want your listening audience to know, as a former 8-year county prosecutor, she saw firsthand where this was going. And as she talked to me about, we need to do some things that deal with the root causes. And now that I'm still here locally, now that I'm going to serve as the next county executive, I'm going to keep us going down that road to deal with the root causes while addressing the criminal element as well.
You know, this is WPFW 89.3 FM on your dial, your station for jazz and justice. If you want to make a donation, call in 202-588-0893 or 588-9739, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Calvin, you said it in terms of the root causes. When I sat there at the forum last night, it dawned on me because, again, as alumni from the UD, University of Department of Corrections, the bottom line is the causation of the problem, man. You got a program for the night. You've been reaching out to the returning citizens community. Mm-hmm. And you got Eddie Matthews on staff and Dexter, and you got guys, man, who are well-liked and well-respected in the community. And you have a program tonight. And we know, man, that we have men and women who did 30, 40, 50 years coming out of prison who are moving in PG County, who are the horses who are ready to roll up their sleeves and get to work, but we don't have the resources. So you're one of the few people that can reach this population. And as the federal government has stated, there's 7 out of every 10 black male has a criminal record or arrest conviction. So that's 70% of our population is impacted by the criminal justice system. So locking somebody up is not the key. But we got folk who need to be, we got folk, man, who need to be reached, who can reach our people. Causation is the main problem. One of the main problems. I always tell a story, Calvin, and I want people to look behind this story. I had an office, and a 5-year-old boy walked in and asked me, he said, "Mr. Roach, I want a job." I started laughing. He's 5. He said, "I want a job." Mm-hmm. So I hired him to dump the trash. He did the trash for 2 days. On the third day, he come in and said, "I want a raise." I said, "A raise? You don't even earn the 5. So he said, I said, "What you going to do with a raise?" He said, "Man, I got to take my little sister to McDonald's and we don't have enough. $5 can't get it for us." So park that story and look at it. At 5 years old, he recognized that he needed money at 5. So our kids at 10, 11, 13, 14, 15, he had to wait till they're 18 or 21 before they get a job. See. They need money now. It was suggested the other night that these rec centers will be open up all night, 24 hours. We need to reach out to the kids. We need to come up with, we just read they had a curfew at the National Harbor for teenagers. Why is it every time something happens, we punish and penalize, but we don't explore and rationalize and improvise new programs that would help these kids get on a safe track? We all need money. These young kids at 5 years old, he recognized he needed a job at 5. They got the Summer Youth Program in Washington, D.C. from youth. What about doing that in PG County? But not only just for the summer, but for all year, bring the business community together, and they provide stipends or different kind of programs. We need to reach out to these youngsters because you right now, one of the few people, you can reach this population, Cal. And they're looking at you, they're watching you, you're firing them up, you're motivating them. And we need to make sure that we have some resources, because we have the horses, man, but we don't have the resources. You are in the driver's seat that you can reach for and let them know that because you understand the causations, the root causes of this whole situation. If these kids, it ain't a lot of these killers are not drug related no more. Mm-hmm. These are attitudes, egos, personalities, and all that little jiggy buggy, little light stuff. Mm-hmm. So we need to reach them, and you got folk who can reach them. What is your program about tonight, this evening?
This is an opportunity to bring individuals who have been on the incarcerated side, imprisonment, their family, their friends, their relatives, bring them together and speak about the urgency of the moment. The urgency of the moment, Roach, is 7 out of 10, as you spoke about, 7 out of 10 black men have a experience with the criminal justice system. Those 7 out of 10 men have family, friends, and relatives who could be very impactful in this race. While your radio station and your what you do as a personality, you have to stay neutral. And thank you for having me on. And I'm sure you'll have others who are pursuing and aspiring to be the next county executive on your show. But what I wanted to say to you, this is an opportunity this evening to really hone in on what this moment means for us, for those who have been there and those who understand the challenge, those who are not saying, let's look at the statistics and show how many people we locked up. Right here in Prince George's County alone, we have locked up more young black men than any other place in the state of Maryland. That's not working.
Right,
we got to
deal
with, as we said, the root causes. And the men and women who come tonight are those influential people who can go into our communities and say, whether it's Big G or whoever, we need you. We young guys, people who, not just someone like me, they may say, oh, that OG's so out of touch. He don't know. But there are others out there working, and you brought it up. I wish I'd have had a chance just to speak to that topic last night, because you know they were giving us individual questions. You spoke of the Marion Barry Summer Youth Leadership Program. Former County Exec Angela Alsobrook started it out here. But I want to expand it, because back in the city, they not just had, as you said, the Summer Youth Program, but they had what they call the Stay in School Program. They had young people working 4 hours after school at the different, not just the private sector, not just the city government, D.C. government, but they had them working in federal enclave, federal agency. But what that did is gave them a sense of responsibility, so that little 5-year-old or that little young man wouldn't have to worry about $5, but he can get a little more to take his family to McDonald's. And that's what I want to implement here. Bring these summer youth, not just open up the rec centers, the community centers. I want them to have a job. I want them to be able to work in our libraries for 4 hours. And maybe while doing that, they may increase their love for reading and learning and become the individuals that will make profound differences as they approach their future. But lastly, what I want to say about tonight is a call to action to say, we're there. We're 16 days away from determining who the next county executive will be. Some will say, oh, not a returning citizen, but the track record that I've established over the last 30 years in my public service in Prince George's County set the bar. Well, of the 9 candidates, my track record sets the bar. I've been in every facet of public service in Prince George's County. But the question becomes, can you understand where we need to go? We're at a very pivotal moment in how we address this future. This next county executive has the possibility of serving for 10 years. 10 years. You're talking about roughly a $6 billion budget for the next 10 years. How do they manage it? How do they do the things for the people of Prince George's County, where we all benefit from this diversity that we call Prince George's County within its 499 square miles of its borders?
Okay, we'd like to give you the call-in number. It's 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. And what is the address for tonight, Calvin? And then we're going to go right to Mayuki again.
Yes, it's right over at Sobey's Restaurant over in Lanham, Maryland. before I get off, I'll look it up and make sure I give you the right address. Sorry about that.
Okay, Mayuki, we need you.
Yeah, well, we're doing great. People are responding to the councilman and to you and to Roach. I want to thank Jerome Walker from Washington, D.C. for his generous pledge of support. From Jerome Walker, Rough Rider Class of 71. And we want to, if you have anyone has a bell, we want to thank Beverly for becoming our first new member, Beverly from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for your generous pledge of support. They each call 202-588-9739. Or 1-800-222-9739, or you can go to the web at wpfwfm.org. You can use Cash App. And we want to thank our wonderful guest, such caliber people that Roach gets. Not only did Councilman Hawkins come in here to share information and inspire us, but what he does, he also has invested in WPFW. He has sent us our first Cash App for today, and we want to thank him so much. And so, folks, we only need $270 and we'll be at goal. Thank you so much. We can get there with your help. You can use Cash App as well as $WPFWFM, or you can text WPFWFM to 801-801. On Crossroads, it doesn't just report on the issues. It provides resources, solutions, and a space for those directly affected to be heard. Crossroads tackles tough topics like mass incarceration, second chances, prison reform, and systemic injustice, and more. More importantly, solutions, because Roach doesn't just talk about things that happens. He tries to change things so that they can happen in a better way. So please, 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. We are here only through your generosity. We can only win this with you. We can only do this together. So please, if you have yet to become a member of WPFW, consider becoming a sustainer. And if you become a sustainer, all you do is you promise a credit card or a bank account information, and we will subtract a specific amount, whatever you are most comfortable with, on a monthly basis. What that ensures is that the donations that you give to WPFW are continuous, and that WPFW has a stream of income coming in between the various drives. That helps us so much. So if you're able to become a sustainer, think out whether you can give $10, $20, $50, $100 a month, whatever is comfortable for you. But $10 a month is great. $12.50 ends up being $150. Two people doing that, and Roach will have made gold. 202-588-9739. We got a great conversation going. The more you call, the less I talk.
Okay, the address for the program is Sobeys Restaurant, 10621 Greenbelt Road. Sobeys Restaurant, 10621 Greenbelt Road. This is a meeting or a program that's being hosted tonight with Calvin, Councilmember Hawkins, and it's for returning citizens, their families, friends, and supporters. You know, this is amazing, and that this is a historic show, Cal. You are a returning citizen. I'm a returning citizen. You're running for county exec, which is the equivalent of a mayor, and I'm running for parole. Even though I'm past parole, my parole eligibility date. Yes. But I want to thank you and how you motivate and inspire folk. A lot of folks who are listening thinking that this is over because they've been in it 20, 30, 40 years, that it's over. It's never over unless you say it's over. And you can bounce back. And again, it's not what you've done, it's what you become. And folk, these are the kind of shows that can motivate and inspire folk to say, hey, a lot of folk who are listening got sons, grandsons, and granddaughters, and we get those calls. What can we do to help them because they're lost or whatever? I know you have a returning citizen on staff, have returning citizen on staff. So these guys can relate, identify with these people. So we have to make sure that our population, and believe it is growing. You are one of the largest returning citizen population in the country. It's been moving in from Ward 8 toward 9 PG County. And these guys are getting involved. They want to get involved, and they want to trust somebody, somebody they can believe in, somebody who won't sell them out or leave them. I have to remain neutral because of our situation here, but we got to bring people the information that folks can use. And folk, if you're listening, don't just listen. Respect this. Look at it. Learn from it. You're talking about somebody who did 5 years in prison to come out now. He's a county city councilman. He's running for county exec. And 10 years from now, I see you as our senator, Calvin. I said, boy, because what you're doing and where you're moving, I worked with Marion Barry for about 12, 14 years. And man, you working just as hard as Marion. Every time I go somewhere in PG County, who is that? There's Calvin. He's over here. He's over there. Your actions dictate, speaks volumes. It ain't what you say. It's what you do. And you doing the do, man. And yeah. I want.
Yes, we'd like to add that a few of the sponsors, if you would say that for tonight, dedicated returning citizens, Dexter Forbes, Kiana Johnson, Al Malik, they're all pushing. They're part of this event tonight, so come on out, support us, and Calvin, keep it going.
Okay. All right, we open up the phones. If you don't have a question or comment for Calvin Hawkins, the councilman in PG County, the phone number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. We got two callers on. First caller, question or comment, please.
How you doing, Roach? This is Rick calling from Germany.
Hey, Rick, you're already still on Stuttgart? Where are you? What part of Germany are you in, Rick?
Just outside of Munich.
Well, I'm just outside of D.C. Come on with it, buddy.
I just want to say to Brother Hawkins, the good things that you want for the young people and for returning citizens, the money for those things will probably not be there until Trump leaves office. And I would ask you, what has happened to the hospitals in PG County and the district since you've been watching, since Trump has come into office? The hospitals, in terms of mental health care, having a psych ward where people can get to before somebody locks them up for life.
Rick, we here in Prince George's County has used local money to deal with the mental health issues you're speaking about. County Executive, former County Executive Angela Alsop Brooks, and when I was the chair of the County Council, we took $20 million out of our local funding and to ensure that instead of locking men and women up, because 70% of the people who get arrested the daily in Prince George's County, 70% are either intoxicated or under some psychotropic drug. So instead of putting them in a cell or taking them to our detention center, we are taking them over to these mental health facilities to let them get assessed and see that if it's more social determinants that we can use medical ways we can help them instead of lock them up. As you ask your question, we have our four hospitals in Prince George's County working with our health department and our health leadership to determine how those federal funds that come into our hospital are being impacted. Right now is a steady flow, but we're not waiting to see what the impact will be. We are being very proactive working and having our hospital administrators looking into where federal funding comes to the hospitals actually through our state to determine if there's some gaps that we're going to have to deal with, especially in Prince George's County with the number of indigent residents we have that really rely on the federal side of support for their medical issues and their medical concerns.
You know, Calvin, we had a few months ago the director of the Returning Citizens Office on in PG County, and we started it. I was the first director of the Office of Ex-Offender Affairs under Marion Barry's administration, and now PG County has an Office of Returning Citizens Affairs, and that office is working diligently to make sure that our population are integrated back into society. Let me shut up and take these calls because the phone is jumping off the hook. We'll take the next caller. Hello, you're on the air. Question or comment? You're on the air.
Hi, Roach. This is Gwen Levi. How are you?
Well, hello, Gwen Levi.
Hi. Listen, as a formerly Prince George's County, formerly justice-impacted incarcerated person, I want to thank you, Mr. Hawkins, I really thank you for all your service that you've done. But I also want to say to all of those returning citizens, we have the right to vote. We have been given that right to vote. Please come out, vote. Do not let Mr. Hawkins' efforts for our county, for us, be in vain. He has worked very hard. Roach has worked very hard. Keanna Johnson is working very hard. We have people who are working very hard to make sure that returning citizens come home and be able to function as assertive people in their community, not just to be in their people, to be in their community, but to be assertive in making sure that those that we left behind come home and have the necessary tools that they need to survive in our society. Today, I'm sitting in a parking lot right now, Roach, in Upper Marlboro, waiting for the shuttle in Annapolis. I'm sorry, up not Upper Marlboro, in Annapolis. I'm getting ready to testify on the Second Look Act, a bill that will allow people who have done 20 years or more who are languishing in our prisons in Maryland to come home, not to get a free get-out-of-jail-free card, but to get a second look. I have a friend, she's 80-some years old. She has dementia. She doesn't even know why she's in prison. We don't have a program inside Maryland prison that can send somebody in to stay with her or to talk with her on a daily basis. Come on. We got to do better by the people that we left behind, those of us who are out here. So I thank you, Mr. Hawkins. I thank you. I'm a former resident of Glen Arden, so I know who you are. So I thank you. I appreciate you. Listen, I'll be testifying in a very few minutes on the Second Look Act. It's called the Second Look Act, HB 853. It's Maryland law that will allow formerly incarcerated people like myself, who've done 16 years on a federal sentence. If I had been incarcerated in the state of Maryland, guess what? I'd still be in jail till I'm 93 years old. Wow. Only because I was a federal inmate did I get a second look. Only.
Wow. Wait, man.
So
Thank you.
Cal, you want to respond?
Thank you for your fight. Thank you for your willingness where the cameras are not, the publicity is not, but yet you're fighting. That woman you spoke about with dementia, you're fighting for her and those who will come after her. For me, I've gone from speaking out as a citizen to now serving as a legislator. And one of the first three acts that I put in place was establishing a reentry advisory committee with not just government agency reps, but private sector, nonprofit. And for almost a year, we discussed how should this look in Prince George's County. And truth be told, we really attempted to follow the model that is in D.C. We try to set up the one-stop shop. And as a result, Roach said they had Director Mike Williams on here. That was a result of legislation I put in place, putting things at the local level that will help us help returning citizens understand that we're not just talking, because you know what happens. They come out, they really don't have no housing, they can't get their ID, they can't get their birth certificate, they can't get the things they need to even begin to survive. And we wonder why our recidivism rate is what it is. So I'm fighting like you to decrease the recidivism rate, but provide real opportunities that we can measure for those who are coming home looking for an opportunity to do the right thing. They can't do the right thing if they don't have housing, if they don't have employment, and they don't have the other means that they need to make sure that they can make the transformation. And that's what my whole legislative experience has been about.
Okay. We'll take this last call. We got one call on remaining. You're on air. Question or comment, please.
Hello.
Hello. You're on air.
Yes. My name is Odyssey Lane, and I am a native Washingtonian. However, my message is the importance for organization of the and the power of a caucus. The D.C. Democratic State Committee is interested in giving information to returning citizens and to form a caucus. And I would like to give information for those who live in D.C. to reach out online to dcdemocraticparty.org to register to come to the next general body meeting, which takes place on March the 6th, 2025. We have meetings.
Thank you. I'm sorry we got to cut you short. We got 1 minute left. Come on, my Eucademy, get out of here.
We're doing great. We want to thank Jesse Shaw for his generous contribution. We only need one other person to make a sustaining pledge of $12.50 a month, and you'll be way over. You'll catch up for what you missed last week and everything. So we want to thank all those who made pledges. We want you to encourage you to continue making pledges to Roach Brown and Crossroads and Martine and to WPFW, because you hear diverse perspectives. The station WPFW provides a platform for underrepresented voices, ensuring diversity of perspectives that enrich public discourse, especially important in the current post-election climate. And you know that's true. 202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org. We are here only through your generosity. Roach is soldiering through a cold. He doesn't feel 100%, but he's a volunteer who's working sick to make sure that he gets this message across. So please, this is your chance to let him know how much you appreciate all that he does and all that Martine and Nikichi does. And thank you so much to Councilman Hawkins. I'm out of your way. I trust that people are going to call 202-588-9739.
Go ahead, Calvin. You want to close it out and give that address for the program for the night, and we'll see you later tonight. We're wrapping up.
You're on mute,
Calvin. Go ahead.
Hey, again, we are having a program tonight at Sobey's Restaurant. It's located at 10621 Greenbelt Road over in Seabrook, Maryland. I would love to see you there. We're going to have a very engaging conversation. It's action time. It's time to call our people to the carpet and say enough is enough. We have an opportunity to make history. We have an opportunity to transform not just Prince George's County, but the entire state of Maryland. Some say we can't. I say we can. We can do this, Prince George's County. And brothers and sisters, this is not about just us. It's about our children. That's why I'm fighting for a better public education system. It's about how we deal with public safety in Prince George's County. Thank you, Roach, for having me.
Thank you, Calvin. And we appreciate Councilman Calvin Hawkins for coming on. He's making history. He's one of us. You know, and it's like, it ain't what you've done, it's what you've become. And the guy's becoming everything that we believe you can do. Thank you, Calvin Hawkins. Thank our listeners. And we need some more donations. Don't, because the show is over. You still can call and make a donation. Keep us on the air. We bring you shows that really can. Remember, this is Crossroads. My name is Roach Brown. My wife is Martine. And remember, we don't put up with no jiggy boogie. Your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or a daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning. Sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations. And then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW. And it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show. You and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon, or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues, hip-hop, house, WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Now's the time for you to display your courage and commitment to truly independent press by donating during our winter pledge drive from February 9th through the 22nd. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
All people in the United States have rights, regardless of immigration status. Knowing our rights is the first step to keeping us safe against the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, or other law enforcement violators of our rights as citizens and immigrants. Guide to protect your rights. 1. Identify emergency contacts and memorize their numbers. 2. Stay calm if approached by ICE or other law enforcement. Do not run, argue, resist,